The off season. I can't wait for the off season content. Just random stuff.
I know that's where we thrive, but.
I think you're doing.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, you gotta be on the hot seat.
We are back.
I don't even know what to think about that one.
I'm interested to listen to that back later and see how it sounds. No. But my dog just freaked out. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Air Pods and Air Balls, the podcast where we do half baked takes on basketball, uninformed opinions on pop culture, sometimes talk about nothing. Probably a lot more basketball this time. But Joe Crawley here. You can follow me at Jason Tatum. Or at Deuce Tatum on Instagram.
Not at Corgi or whatever.
No, Nat Steph Lurie. But as always, here with Dominic Harania. Hey Dom, what's your favorite sandwich meat?
This is a good one. I like this one.
I know. I was like proud of myself when I thought about it in the car today.
Yeah. Finally, not like I am a roast beef guy.
I got questions here. Are we talking like roast beef out of package? Are we talking about like Arby's fresh, roast beef?
Freshly cut.
Okay.
Like some deli quality, freshly cut roast beef.
We want like an automated slicer.
Some horseradish. You know, I like it. I like it hot.
I can ride with that answer. Giving you a solid 7 out of 10 there. I am a big fan of horseradish. Roast beef is not a versatile meat, but I feel like it's a good vehicle for like the fanboy condiments and sides, right? Like horseradish, for example, it's like the Alex Caruso of sandwich ingredients, or like the
Singing plays a lot of defense.
White, but no, no, but it's like not everybody's favorite, but like the people that love it go hard for it.
Okay.
Or it's like a Boban. It's like the Boban, like horseradish is almost like a Boban of sandwich ingredients.
It's way more impactful than Boban. Like horseradish makes itself known whenever it's on something, you know, really clears out the sinuses.
Maybe it's like a Dennis Schroeder. They're both kind of German.
So, yeah.
But anyway, like roast beef goes great too with like, I don't know, like a really spicy brown mustard. I'm a ham guy. Yeah, it's plain. I get it. I know.
It's very wide of you.
I just feel like a good ham sandwich cuts across cultures. You know, you've got your good old American ham and cheese.
Right.
If you want to go over to Vietnam, you know, you got a nice little banh mi. If you want to go to like Cuba, you can get a Cuban sandwich. If you want to go to the American South, you can get a little like pork belly. But give me your thoughts.
I have thoughts on the Cubano.
Uh-oh. Is this going to be a good hot take here, I feel.
I think this was going to be this is what I've been saving up for on like a hot take, or you know, one of those overrated food questions that you asked me. I think the Cubano is the most overrated sandwich.
I love that you just had this thought and you haven't even been saving it for like a particular opportunity. You just knew an opportunity would come up.
I don't get it. I don't get the allure of it. Like people go crazy over the Cubano. It's just, and to me, it's just like a ham sandwich with melted cheese and toasted bread, and I don't even know what else is in it, like some mustard.
mustard and pickle. Yeah.
Pickle.
I think it's a big texture thing. I love myself a Cubano, but I think it's just crispy. The sourness of the pickle. You get that little bit of like in your nose spice from a mustard.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's not for me. Maybe it's.
I think I don't know. I think if we put a poll up that was like, would you rather have a Cubano or would you rather have a roast beef sandwich? I feel like Cubano is it's Cubano in five.
your answer was just ham. Like that's much more plain. You can't just evolve it into a Cubano. Is it cute?
We talked about favorite sandwich meat, and I gave you mine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is versatile. I'll
it's yeah. It's like a dairy punk.
Are you a honey baked ham guy?
Oh, I'm a good Filipino boy when it comes to my honey baked ham. You know, nice and sweet. It just sliced really thin. It lasts you like a week. You're eating honey baked ham sandwiches for a long time. Mm-hmm. Honey baked ham and a Hawaiian roll. Just give me all the sweetness.
Yes. I love that. Yeah, what was an answer that you would have absolutely hated on the sandwich meat?
I think turkey.
Turkey.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty plain, but like it could, I think surrounded by some good side condiments and like a turkey bacon avocado is good. Like I love that, but
turkey on its own just has no flavor or personality, right? Like I feel like when I used to have cold cuts in the fridge, like I could just grab a piece of ham and stuff it in my mouth, right? Like I don't think I could ever do that with like a cold cut turkey.
Yeah, it's like the Jason Tatum of sandwich meats. Definitely, he's relying on his son to give him personality. Off the floor. Sorry, I'm just hating him.
There's just straight bullets here.
Sorry. We just watched Jason Tatum have quite the roller coaster game. But
they're going to seven.
All right. Shall we get into this?
Let's get over with. Yeah.
Get over with.
We miss you, Brad. I wish I had time to put all of Brad's tweets into like ChatGPT or something to get like what Brad would think. But
I haven't even seen, I don't know if it's my algorithm or not, but I haven't seen a lot of Brad tweets come in.
Yeah. I guess when we start talking, Brad's tweets will start to play a factor. But let's talk about it. So we're recording this. I'm going to try to get to it tonight, but there are many times where I haven't got it up on the same day. But so we're recording this on Thursday. Game six is tomorrow. Lakers are up 3-2.
3-2. Yes.
How
are you feeling?
I was going to put this on you. I was like, how are you feeling, Dom? I mean, going at home, having lost in crypto all playoffs?
Like, obviously... Like no one would complain about being up 3-2 going home. Obviously that's what you want. But like, I'm not going to feel confident, like totally confident until, you know, the clock's at zero in the fourth and we're like, you know, and we won. Like that's just because no one's seen you guys lose in 10 years in the West. So. And you've had crazy game six performances on the road, like in OKC, that one ripped my heart out in 2016. But I mean, then again, like you guys haven't played against LeBron James, Anthony Davis in that type of situation. So, I mean, I think we'll get it done, but we'll see. I'm just always stressed. Like even in games and when we're up like 15, I'm always like, we're blowing this, like we could be up more type of thing. I think the series has gone exactly how I predicted last episode so far. So
yeah, it has.
We will see. We will see.
It's a Dominic Corgi Harania.
Oh, hate that dog.
Yeah, I'll send you a TikTok. The owner drop kicked it like as a joke today.
I love that. How are you feeling?
Yeah, obviously been better, right? I don't know. I think the series has had its ups and downs. I think like, you know, game one was more or less expected. Game two wasn't expected, but I think the win was. And I think game three was like a similar expected one from the Lakers. I think game four were really hurt. Just because, yeah, I mean, like, because the Lakers played bad. And the Warriors had like tons of opportunities and they just threw it away. Like, and it was just like only Steph showed up. But I don't know. Like, game five was a nice win. And I also think that, like, I think it showed the Warriors have a good game plan. I didn't think the Lakers were a better team than the Warriors, or more talented team than the Warriors, like going into the series. And now I think my opinion has changed there. Like, I think the Lakers have a better bench. I think the Lakers have like a, you know, probably like a slightly better starting lineup. I would maybe give the Warriors an edge on coaching, but I would say that like Darvin Ham's done a pretty good job this series. But I don't know. I think it's going to take a lot. Like, I think that, I mean, the term unserious has been thrown around a lot, and this Warriors team is very unserious. So,
yeah. They came out pretty serious game five.
Yeah.
Right. I think, I didn't watch it live for my mental health, but, rewatching some of the, you know, like some of the first half, it looks like a lot of the others stepped up early, right, to kind of give you that boost to start. And I thought the Lakers did sort of weather that storm like pretty well.
They did. They ended the quarter down four. Yeah.
Yeah. And then even going into the second, it was like basically tied or like a 2 or 4 point game with 3 minutes left in this first half. And then just like a couple mistakes here and there just led to like a very quick 8-0 run for you guys to go up 11. Just kind of never was able to grab the reins or like build any sort of momentum after that. And I mean, from the Lakers perspective, I feel like some of that stuff, like you want Wiggins shooting some of those shots, right? Like that's just what you would rather have beat you. Draymond Green putting up 20 points, and I don't think he's scored 20 points since
like 3 years
or I don't even know, but
it feels like a long time.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, I think both sides are like looking at it as a sort of positive, right? Like for the Warriors, you guys want, like you need that sort of help to come through. And then for the Lakers, that's what you want to beat you.
So. I mean, yeah, I think the thing is though, is like I felt like during game four, like during that Lonnie Walker stretch,
it was
just like I think I texted you this. If you had told me Lonnie Walker was gonna take all those shots like in the fourth quarter, then I would have been like stoked, right? So if he's gonna make all those shots, you know, and they're gonna run the offense through him and he's just gonna be like unstoppable, then like we were never gonna win that game. I think the Warriors game five, that was the Warriors at their best. Maybe if Jordan Poole Clay made more shots, but like besides that, like, you know, that's the Warriors at their best. And I think that's repeatable. How likely they are to repeat it, I think, is sort of like what's going to make the difference if the Warriors can actually come back or not. And them doing it three times in a row, I mean, they haven't done that all season. So like, this is sort of like the last gear. I mean, I'm saving, like, I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff that goes into like the series, which like I think there's very easy to be upset about. But I don't know. This is like a weird moment for me. like I've been doing so bad at work. I've been so distracted. I've just been on edge. I feel like it's just so stupid because all you fucking Laker fans are gonna be like, oh, Laker, right? And it's just like they're like, oh, this is our year, we deserve it, blah blah blah. And it's just like, you don't get it. I've watched you fucking Lakers fans my entire life just go crazy and have this weird entitlement for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen again.
Let
it's
it out.
So fucking stupid.
Let out the hatred.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, we floppered this. We deserved this so hard. We took 2 year break from the playoffs, and now we're back. Right now, it's our time. We fought so hard. The media. Look at all these fouls. Dennis Schroeder threw his head back, and he didn't get called a foul. Just fucking over it, bro. Just fucking over it.
So you think you're gonna lose tomorrow? Is that what this rant is?
The end is coming. The end is coming. The Lakers were the better team. They deserve to win the series. I'm less pissed about the Warriors like losing. This isn't a championship worthy team. They haven't tried. The front office isn't getting together, or players punching each other in the preseason. But I think it's just more. It's just how fucking Lakers, dude. Fuck the Lakers. So fucking.
I can't
annoying.
Tell if this is a reverse jinx or not, but
this to be the reverse jinx of the season.
Yeah, this is quite the heave of the reverse jinx. But going back to you said this
you're trying to make this productive. Yeah, go
for it. I mean, this is essentially the same roster that won last year, minus like an Otto Porter and I don't even know who else.
Well, instead of Otto Porter, we have Dante DiVincenzo. Instead of Bielitsa, we have Jermichael Green. Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, yeah. So I don't know how you can't say this isn't a championship team or roster or whatever, because all the media seem to think that this is like you guys are the greatest team ever. Still, that's how they're treating this series. If you want to talk about the media, should we just go into like things that we hate about this series?
Yeah, there's a lot of hate about this series.
Just the whole overall like media coverage of this is just so out of whack. Like, it's absurd. I mean, going into it, obviously, like they want to bill like the whole LeBron versus Curry crap. Yes. Right. Steph is what, 4-2 against
something like that.
LeBron, but
or is it 4-2? I think it's like,
I don't even know.
Three and one. Something like that. Or 2-1?
I think it's four, maybe 4-1.
Did they really play five times? Well, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018. So, yeah, 3-1. Yeah.
3-1. But I don't know. Just they're just missing a lot of context behind those matchups. And I don't know, just like after every win, like say after game one, it was about like they're not even talking about the game afterwards, right? Like on the debate shows, it's all about it's all about the legacy crap. Like, whose legacy hurts the most losing this series or whatever, and then Lakers lose game two, and then the topic is, oh, Lakers blow this series or Lakers lose this series. If you ask any team to go 1-1 like on the road, right, you take that. But obviously, like, they wrote us off already, and then game three happened over the weekend, so there's not much really like coverage or whatever. And then game four, like, it's all about the Warriors somehow, from what I saw. And I look up everything like on YouTube the day after wins, and it's just it's ridiculous. That's all I'll say.
I think it's ridiculous how warped your view of the media is. But
So then game five happens, and then like obviously the much talked about like Anthony Davis thing, right? Looney inadvertent hit to the face.
Yeah.
His temple. He has to leave the game in, quote, a wheelchair. I don't even know if that's true or not. But then just people like Shaq and Chuck, like Shaq I expect that crap from Chuck. Like Shaq as a Laker great, you know, someone who we fucking wasted money on building a statue, a very cool statue of him dunking, and just his jersey up in the rafters and all that. For him to he also picked the Warriors to win the series. I don't know, it's just his behavior towards like AD, just everyone's behavior towards AD is very weird. Like they never credit him. Like I think after game one when he had like 30 and 23, I think the narrative was just, well, he probably is not gonna do it game two. And I mean, which he didn't, but that's but like it's not even just the praise of him, you know, helping to steal the first game on the road type of thing. It's just like they just have this agenda against him. And I don't know if you saw like comparing when Giannis got hurt in the first round, compared like Shaq and Chuck's reaction to Giannis getting hurt compared to AD is literally like the Rick Ross Lizzo meme. Empowering, put on a shirt. Like they're so sad that Giannis got hurt, and then they're laughing at AD's possible concussion. Just disgusting.
I think you're selectively ignoring some very like Laker biased media, but I mean Chris Haynes is like a LeBron fanboy. Basically doing all like the sideline reporting for these games and even just like reading text messages from Laker players like in the middle of a broadcast.
We gotta have one person.
You have many. And also like like it's working. Like, you know what I mean? Like the media knows, these toxic ass Lakers fan base, like, oh, let's just poke them and they're all gonna bitch and complain and go in their group chats. But I think the media's been stupid, like 100%. And I also just think that it's ignoring from the basketball perspective, right? I think there's like some really interesting coaching going on here, right? Like with even the whole game one, you know, from game one to game two, they put like, or I'm sorry, game two to game three, they put like Vanderbilt off the ball and you get passing lanes more. And then there was the whole adjustment of the Warriors putting AD in the pick and roll.
Yeah.
And then even like, you know, the Lakers making the adjustment late in the last game of like AD, like, basically switching that pick and roll and just guarding the ball handler and then leaking out as opposed to just like trying to switch back. Mm-hmm. Like that's stuff I want to hear about. Right. But no, it's like all about like flopping and illegal screens and, oh, we don't teach flopping, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like, it's just like taking a focus away from like the basketball stuff. And like, I don't know, this whole injury stuff is stupid too. Right. Like why are we making such a, like, AD got hurt. Let's hope he all gets well, but he's going to play, right? He's fine. LeBron threw an elbow at Andrew Wiggins and he's questionable for game six. And like, we're just not going to talk about that. Right. Like it's we're just choosing random stuff to get mad about at this point.
Yeah. They also like to, I feel like the media also acts like AD and LeBron are like the only people that have ever gotten injured or have a chance of getting injured. That's always a topic of discussion, even though neither has missed a game this playoffs. LeBron did get hurt earlier in the year and he's clearly still not 100%. Like he's not even close, which definitely plays a huge role in like how he's approaching this series.
I mean, I think that's another thing that they're not talking about. Like LeBron's been bad. I'm pretty bad this series.
Yeah, he doesn't have the same, you know, explosiveness, first step, fast twitch or whatever. Probably doesn't have his legs under him.
But he's also making like a lot of bad decisions. His biggest contribution has been like an outside shooter. He's not even playing great defense. Like I think if Wiggins was on it more, they would attack LeBron more from the perimeter, kind of like what Memphis was doing. But
like Iso.
Yeah.
I mean, I would invite that. I would take that as, you know, as a Lakers fan, but yeah, I mean, it could wear out LeBron for sure. But he's trying a lot like on defense, especially on the boards. You know, he's averaged probably like 9 or 10 rebounds a game this series. So I think we've really just went all in on really just slowing down this, like securing rebounds, you know, securing possessions, like valuing the ball, even though he's probably turned it over a lot.
Yeah.
It's on those pocket passes, like just in traffic, like none of that has gone through this entire series, but yeah, he's clearly not the same LeBron James from like January, right? He was averaging like 35 when he was chasing the Kareem record.
Yeah.
Like, he was a totally different player than what we're seeing now, which is unfortunate. So that's, yeah, I mean, that's like the only reason why I'm like slightly worried going into like tomorrow, right? Because I don't think he has that on switch, you know. He can't give us a whole game, right, to put us on his back.
Doesn't got that corgi in him.
He has like a good maybe like 5 minutes that you saw at when he turned it on against Memphis in that game four. So he has to, you know, he has to be really selective. And so that's when, you know, guys like D'Lo and Austin have to sort of take over that offensive load. And that's troubling sometimes. You know, they're not like, they haven't been the most consistent, right, this series.
Oh, boo-hoo. Cry me a fucking river. Yeah, I don't know. I think the thing that surprised me is, like, I don't know, you talk a lot of shit about Darvin Ham. And Darvin Ham definitely isn't, like, an X's and O's guy. But I think, like, he's a really great, like, game management coach. He calls, like, perfect timeouts.
That's only been a recent thing.
And he does his subs really well too. Like the Warriors have the same rotation every game. Like I can tell you when Steph Curry's coming in, when Steph Curry's coming out.
Yeah.
And basically by the second quarter, I can tell you if Jordan Poole's gonna play in the second half or not. Like nothing ever changes. Lakers will just have like a deeper bench. That happens when you get to like just build your team in February. But like it's paid off, right? Like they have like these like five wings that kind of go back and forth on if they really want to.
It definitely have some options on like based on who's got it going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now if any of those options could just stay up when they move across the screen, but it's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? So official prediction for tomorrow.
I think the Warriors win tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're saying we win game seven?
Yeah, and it's gonna hurt.
Wow.
That's
pretty hot. It's a pretty hot take. I'd say if we lose tomorrow, like I might be like
you might make it to golf on Saturday.
I'll make the golf. I'm for sure making it to golf. I might not play well, but I think we have to win tomorrow. And it's gonna be all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Just game five, you know, games two and five didn't really give me much confidence, right? Going into after sealing game one, just like our prospects. But you know, I guess that's why they play, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Warriors were a better team game four. I think the Warriors were the better team game five. So that's what kind of gives me hope. I don't know. It's also just like a feeling thing. I think we both agree like the pressure is on the Lakers here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I mean,
that's because
it's like the home game.
Like we have some championship experience, right? Between like two people, but you know, you guys have it amongst what, four, five. So yeah, we'll see. It's gonna be stressful.
It's gonna be very stressful.
Did you still want to watch it?
I don't think so. I was a little optimistic, and I saw how caught up into the. I was playing my rec league at the end of the fourth quarter, and at halftime, someone popped over the game, And if we didn't see the score, but we saw Steph Curry being interviewed, so we thought that was a good sign. But no, I got to give props to AD. AD showed up, has been showing up. He's been playing really well. I think I said something in our last podcast where if AD is scoring 35 points, there's a good chance we win, because it basically means y'all are running your offense through AD. And it sounds kind of stupid now.
I didn't fully see what happened game five, but in game four, he was dominating the first half, but then just our late game second half offensive scheme was all about just Steph hunting, right?
Yeah.
On defense. So, kind of limited his touches in the second half, but I don't know. Hopefully AD's watching some of these. I know he deactivated his social media, but hopefully he's watching some of these idiots on TV.
Yeah, I'm excited by Draymond getting in AD's face. That means I think Draymond's engaged.
With his thumbs in his eyes.
What was that?
I said Draymond getting into AD's face with his thumbs in his eyes.
No, there was that moment where Draymond got the and one in the first. Oh yeah, you don't watch. Draymond got the and one in the first quarter, and he did it on Vanderbilt, and he yelled in Vanderbilt's face, and AD was kind of back off, and then Draymond started yelling back.
There's no tech there.
No. Not that early, right?
Okay.
Draymond asked for it.
Didn't
actually.
Get it.
Draymond actually had a funny press conference. This is a very Draymond press conference moment where the ref told him to be quiet. And then Draymond said, everyone else is talking, so you have to tee all of us up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But one thing about me real quick. I do you think the clutch thing plays a factor in how the media talks about the Lakers? Because obviously CAA and these other agencies are a little more bigger and have more media placement.
Maybe. I mean, obviously they're almost the rogue agency, right? Or the black sheep, the new kids on the block. I don't know. I don't know enough about the agency business, but yeah. It's just that combined with Lakers, all that stuff. Just
Yeah, the media has a vendetta against the second largest fan base in the country. Yeah.
Oh, John texted me about that, and he's like, I don't know if the Knicks are the largest, because I don't know. We'll see. I don't even prove that, but I'd like to throw the challenge flag on that claim.
Well, the Knicks are the most valuable franchise, or is it the Warriors?
It might be the Knicks.
I think is it Knicks, Lakers, Warriors?
Might be Knicks, Warriors, Lakers, Warriors slightly ahead. I don't know. Okay.
Well, if you want some good news, I went to the driving range before this, and I think I figured out something with my grip. I'm hitting a lot straighter now, which I'm excited about. And I'm getting a little shot shape too.
Oh, shot shape.
I was like
cheering action, huh?
I like hit one. I started hitting it with I basically switched over to a strong grip, and because that was my irons, because I saw they were just going to the right too much, so I just tried to overcorrect my hands how I hold the club, and I was getting some really nice right to left movement semi consistently. I'll have to try this.
We'll have to see it.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
I say this is about to probably shank for the first three holes, but
it always takes me a while, but.
Anyway,
did you want to touch on other haters corners about this series?
No, I mean, we were gonna do a fan thing, but I think the time we have left, we should just say our I love yous and hope to see you soon.
I think tomorrow's was it D-Day? I think it's the D-Day is the turning point of the war.
I honestly don't know. I'm going to the Pilo concert Saturday night. I don't know if I could watch if there's a game seven. I don't think I could stomach it. It's going to feel too much like game seven 2016 against the Cleveland. But
I don't know. That's I feel like it's very different.
To me, it's not. I hate the Lakers. And it's like I've grown up hating the Lakers. I feel like all the bullies in middle school were Lakers fans. It's just, yeah, it's okay. Like, this is all just the end of like the Draymond Clay Steph era. Although we've come to the end of the road.
Yes. Right. I hope so. We hope so. Well, all right then. If you made it this long, thank you for listening to us ranting about our thoughts and just, yeah. We're all very nervous wrecks here.
We're all very nervous. Yes, it is. It is it's been a tough couple of weeks. I'm excited for it to be over no matter what happens.
Yeah, it's felt long, even though the series only started Tuesday, but like just
it's been the longest 2 weeks of my life. Yeah.
It's only been 9 days. So I don't know.
Yeah. I found my first gray hair. I think it's not an accident. But
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time.
Next time when we don't talk about basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
After the bullshit. Yes.
All right. Later.
Later.
Yeah.